This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Picture that super soft t-shirt you love sleeping in. The one that gets softer and softer the more you wear it. Now you can bring that same lived-in softness to your entire bed with Signature Vintage Wash Sheets from Boll & Branch. This all-new collection is even softer than your favorite t-shirt, with a distinctly relaxed look and feel for your best night's sleep. Just like all Boll & Branch bedding, Signature Vintage Wash Sheets start with the highest quality, 100% organic cotton. The lived and feel comes from a small batch washing process, creating a level of softness you've never felt before. And it's not just the feel. Boll & Branch mastered the laid-back aesthetic using a special technique that creates the well-loved look you'll find with vintage jeans. And true to the Boll & Branch hallmark, Signature Vintage Wash Sheets get softer and softer with every wash. Right now, you can get 15% off your first order with promo code ODYSSEY and save on their most relaxing sheets. So head to BollAndBranch.com today. That's B-O-L-L and Branch.com.
It's You Better You Bet on the BetQL Audio Network.
Nick Ashew, Chris Mack, You Better You Bet on BetQL. The NBA has I'm gonna be honest with you, man. Like it has saved us. Like there's just I just remember back in the day where this used to be the time of year where there was like nothing to bet on unless you want to do baseball. But there's a certain point people just get exhausted by baseball this time of year, And you didn't have all the player movement we got now. The NBA has helped us in a lot of ways, and I'm not complaining one bit.
No, because it's just endless, the different scenarios that you can cook up, whether it's for Kevin Durant, for Kyrie Irving. Now we've got above and beyond the NBA, we've got conference realignment, and it's the most wonderful time of the year as opposed to the worst for sports fans, despite the fact that there's not a lot of games being played because there are endless scenarios to debate and talk about in both the NBA and college football.
I don't know what's more disrupting or what's more difficult to predict, the Kevin Durant market or the conference realignment in college football. Like, both of them are just, there are so many possibilities there right now.
At least with Kevin Durant, you're limiting the possibilities to about 30 or so. With college football, it's just, I mean, nothing would surprise us anymore. Nothing.
We kind of know the direction that it's going to go. I'd be curious to see over the next few years if there's any situation in the NBA, and I know there's a CBA, I don't know when the negotiation actually off the top of my head comes up, but if owners at all try to like push back on this and find some way to have a little more stability in the NBA. I don't know if it's possible, but you know, you look around at where the Nets were and what their expectations were in the title. I mean, they were the favorites to win the title, not just entering this past season, but a good portion of the year. And the Lakers, which was hilarious. The Lakers had the second best odds for a good stretch of it, too. But, yeah, you go from title expectations to, I guess we got to get a lot of draft picks and people for Kevin Durant. Like, what? It's a really difficult market to navigate right now if you're in the NBA.
Life comes at you pretty fast. And when your super team doesn't stay together and everybody wants out, it'll crumble faster than you can find the draft picks to scrape together to try and rebuild.
Yeah, I'm looking at some of these young guys that signed extensions. Obviously, the rookie extensions, it's different. Like Nikola Jokic, we know how big his was going to be. He's won a couple of MVPs already. But if you're looking at the MVP market moving forward, because it's always, I'm a big nerd with this. Ken and I are both kind of nerds when it comes to like looking at the next day. Every time I'm on here with him, we talk about like the futures market and awards and why the NBA MVP is certain things that fall into that category. You kind of look at, okay, well, who's the next guy up to win an MVP out of this group? Like a Zion and Darius Garland and John Morant and Karl Anthony Towns, Devin Booker, all those guys. If you look at the MVP odds right now, John Morant's 12-1. I don't think he's going to win it next year yet, but I would expect him to be higher in the voting And it's not going to take very long before he actually wins an award, because you already had the groundswell for him to win it, for him to be considered, probably earlier than what should have been expected, given the way the Grizzlies played, they overachieved this past season. You kind of look at some of these young players and go, Ja Morant, Devin Booker, and Booker's 20-1 to win the MVP next year as well. They're going to be not just in that conversation over the next couple of seasons, but they're going to be some of the finalists probably to win one, as long as obviously their teams keep winning.
The fact that Ja Morant is longer than 10-1, I literally want to open my app and place that bet right now. Like that,
I love
that value. And look, it probably ends up being Embiid or Giannis. I can't imagine the kind of season Jokic would have to win it again. There would be some bias against that happening. But those for Ja to be at, you know, I understand Jokic being at 10-1 again because of that bias. KD at 10-1 because we're not even sure yet where he's going to be playing, what the team's going to look like. Ja Morant next at 12-1. I don't know how you – that value makes a ton of sense to me. And I'm surprised, again, that it's that long.
Yeah, and it's interesting, too, because I look at the Grizzlies. When we look at some of these, obviously, these extensions that were signed and where these teams are for the immediate present, but also short-term future, where they go going forward. And you know how much I love the Warriors and what they've done short-term. They've got everybody there. They've got long-term. Like, all that stuff's together. But I look at a team like the Grizzlies and Ja Morant, and it's not just about the next couple of years. It's about the next 5 to 6 years, as long as they can afford it. They have the opportunity to be a true title contender for years and years to come because of the way this team is built and because of just the chemistry. We're talking about throwing stars on a bunch of teams. You got to have chemistry too, and they've got that chemistry there where if Ja Morant can stay healthy, the future is really, really bright for Memphis.
You don't play the way they did down the stretch when Morant was out if you don't have that chemistry naturally. Now, if you can build off of that and Ja Morant has the kind of season scoring that we know he's capable of and stays healthy while doing it, like that's the kind of prescription for an MVP run. And that's why 12-1 is super value, in my opinion, on him. I can't imagine... As I look at all of the long shots, and he's, you know, the shortest of the long shots, if we go at 10-1 or longer,
right?
He's the one that makes the most sense. I mean, unless you suspect that Karl-Anthony Towns is going to put together an entire season like he just did post All-Star break, and the T-Wolves are going to somehow not be hamstrung by Rudy Gobert on the offensive side of the floor, then, okay, Karl-Anthony Towns at 60-1, there's a ton of value there, sure. But that's the only other one of the long shots that I look like and go, ooh, yeah, that has obvious value, because even at just 12-1, Ja Morant as an MVP candidate, I love it. I like him right behind Luka, Giannis, and Embiid, and those guys are all shorter than 10-1.
Yeah, and honestly, I wouldn't even put Giannis in the category of most likely to win, just because he's won a couple already, and you get those back-to-backs, and then they vote for somebody else. It's just kind of the way the awards worked. It's interesting, too. So the Grizzlies are 10-1 just to win the West. The Minnesota Timberwolves, and I want to get to this because you keep bringing this up. We haven't had a chance to talk about this. They're 21 to win the West. They're another team that's kind of in that category where up and coming, young, bright future, all of those things. And they trade for Rudy Gobert on Friday. I guess I'm in the minority because a lot of people don't like that trade. I know they gave up a bunch for him, and I understand free throws. Offensively, there are some issues with Gobert, but they don't need him to be an offensive threat as much as they need a rebounder and a rim protector. So Karl-Anthony Towns, who we know is really soft, can just play on the outside, not bang around, not have to protect the rim that much and go in. And he can get you double-doubles obviously too, but offensively, let him play on the perimeter more. Let him be who he is offensively. And then you've got Karl-Anthony Towns, or then you've got Rudy Gobert defensively, who can go out and do what he does, what's made him the Stifle Tower, which is still one of the best nicknames ever. And we all know this team runs through Anthony Edwards. He is the star. He's somebody that has a chance, by the way, too. Not yet, but down the road to be an MVP as well if Minnesota continues this trajectory. I don't know. A lot of people really hated that trade. I don't hate it. I don't like the Timberwolves, or I don't hate the Timberwolves going all in right now and getting somebody else that can help them and really, I guess you could say, accentuate something that once was a deficiency for them and rebounding, protecting the rim. Like, they've added an extra guy there with Karl Anthony Towns. Now just go be the perimeter stretch four that you want to be. It's, they're going big. It's just, we don't see a lot of this in the NBA now.
You know, you make a lot of great points. I just think they gave up way too much for Gobert. That's my beef with the deal, is that way too many assets, way too many resources for Rudy Gobert, who, again, you make a great point. Things should funnel through Edwards, and Towns should be given more latitude to stretch out. And we saw how well he handled that down the stretch this year and even into the playoffs. And that all makes a ton of sense, but four firsts for Rudy Gobert just to get a rim protector and to maybe stretch things out a little bit for Towns. And when I don't think he provides what a guy who you just spent four first round picks on should provide on the offensive end. That's my only beef with the deal, is that it's way too much for him, for Gobert. I don't question whether he can add something there. I just don't think he adds enough to make the expense worth it.
When teams are in that moment, though, where they say, this is our time now, let's ride this trajectory, they say, screw draft picks. We're going all in on whoever it is that we can trade for, which then goes back to the Kevin Durant situation, where there's going to be one or two teams that just say, it's Kevin Durant. If it's 2 years, it's 2 years. It's a better 2 years than we would have had without him. And that's the direction that they go, like the Knicks or maybe the Suns or somebody like that. But yeah, it's Minnesota's a really intriguing team to me, because they overachieved. And I get it. People made fun of him for winning the play-in game and celebrating like it was a title, whatever. Like, to me, that was a young team that just fine. It didn't bother me like it bothered a lot of other people. But when you look at now, having two seven-footers. Like, I wonder if the NBA ball is going to kind of, I don't want to say that it's going to totally pivot the other direction, but, you know, teams have gone small for so long. Do you have some organizations, the Thunder have done this too, with all the skinny seven-footers they've got on this team. Do some teams, you know what, let's counter this and go big. Big unicorns, guys that can step outside the era of the new big man we have, but let's go big. Let's go long to make it more difficult for these teams that go small so we can counteract what they're doing right now.
And that's the key. You know, if you're Towns and you're a big man who can play 20, 24 feet from the hoop, okay, it's a completely different ball game, literally. But I just don't know, even if he does, right? Let's say everything works to perfection for the T-Wolves and Rudy Gobert does all the things that you described he can do, and Anthony Edwards has a great year, continues to develop towards stardom, and Karl Anthony Towns, like I said earlier, plays an entire season like he did post All-Star break this year.
Yeah.
Is that still enough? I mean, where does that get them? Does that get them to maybe on a really deep run for them would be a conference finals? Is that what you gave up four first round picks for? I don't give up four first round picks unless it's the kind of move that I know if everything works out, we're going to the finals and we got a chance to win. And that's not what the Gobert trade is, I don't think. It's, okay, we go from being a play-in quality team to maybe we're one of the top eight in the West now, and we're as assured of a playoff spot as you can be in the West. But you look at the Western Conference odds that you brought up earlier, Nick, and they're ninth, actually. Now, you can question some of those odds because some of them are betting favorites whose odds are shorter, like the Lakers at plus 550. And maybe there are some darlings in there like the Mavs at 10-1. I don't necessarily think the Pelicans are far and away better than the T-Wolves. They're both at 20-1. So, you know, technically, I guess they're both tied for the eighth spot there if you look at the Western Conference championship odds. I don't look at four first round picks going out for anybody unless you believe it takes you from whatever level you believe you were at. Maybe, again, if you're the T-Wolves, you believe you were a 7, 8, 9, 10 play-in level caliber team to 2-3 levels above your status now. And Gobert doesn't do that, I don't think.
it's really what priorities are, right? Like there are some teams that know they can build through free agency in the draft and they're maybe a destination. And there's others that are like, this is the best we have. Like we were joking about the Wizards and Bradley Beal getting 5 for $251 and they're 500-1 to win the title. But the reality of it is an organization like that, they know they don't get free agents. DC is a great city. I love DC, but like they don't get free agents to the Wizards. There's a lot of, I guess you could say the reputation is that the ownership group cares more about hockey and the Wizards are more of just a revenue stream versus the Capitals are an actual passion. So there's a little bit of a difference there in terms of the resources you're going to get running the team. But you know, Minnesota can look at it that way too, where think about how many times they have had stars like a Kevin Garnett. You think of most recently, not most recently, because Kevin Love was after that. But you know, some of these all-stars that wanted out, that didn't want to stay in Minnesota. So to lock up Karl Anthony Towns on a four-year extension and get a rim protector and a rebounder like Rudy Gobert to couple with Anthony Edwards and what this team has done this past year, I kind of get why they say, you know what, we don't care about these draft picks. We've got enough young talent. Let's get somebody in here that we know is an all-star, is a defensive player of the year, is a rim protector, is different than what we have on this roster right now. Now, the problem is, yeah, I don't think Minnesota's winning a title. They'd be lucky to go to the Western Conference Finals. But if you're that organization, it's another one of those, here's our window. We've got to maximize this window while we can.
It's a fair point. I just, again, if they were to get, like we said, to the Western Conference Finals, that would be a ridiculous out-of-this-world success for them. And if you're going to give up that much in resources and assets and that many picks, you better guarantee that you're going to get to the Western Conference Finals. And they're not. They're going to have to play over their heads to get to that point.
Yeah, it's look, they've got a bright future. I don't think there's any question. But when you have so many lottery picks, you better nail a couple of them. They did with Karl Anthony Towns and Anthony Edwards, both number one overall picks. So, you know, it helps to be in that position when that's the case. We're going to talk to Jason Sobel next, get into a little bit of golf. Of course, the Live tournament or tour or whatever the hell you call this thing will be brought up as well. Fascinating with that. But, of course, we look ahead to the Scottish Open as well. This is You Better You Bet on BetQL.
It's You Better You Bet from BetQL. Download the BetQL app today to get the latest analytics to help you beat the sportsbooks.